Today on Roadmap to Success with Pastor Neil.
When the time is short, schedules don't mean a thing to you. Everything becomes what? Urgent. And you don't even look at the complexity of things. Everything is simplified. In other words, your choices line themselves up. So Peter is saying, maintain this mindset. Live every single day of your life as if Jesus is going to come tomorrow.
Many Christians believe that if we are suffering, God must be against us. Paul says no. If you are suffering, you are becoming more like Christ. This week, Pastor Neil continues with the lessons in 1 Peter, focusing on chapter 4. In this chapter, Peter talks about suffering in a way that reflects Jesus. Pastor Neil elaborates that, as believers, we should prepare ourselves for these struggles and live each day with urgency, treating every day like it could be our last. We should focus on praying, loving, and serving others, ensuring that everything we do glorifies God. Let's listen to Pastor Neil with today's lesson, Mindsets to Cultivate During Difficult Times.
All right, so our focus this morning will be on a simple subject, the mindsets that we need to cultivate during difficult times. The mindsets. There is a certain kind of mindset you need to have when you are in the midst of extreme difficulty or you're having some painful moments. So this lesson aims to identify and cultivate the specific mindsets that we as believers need to cultivate to help us navigate every kind of difficulty that we find ourselves in. Amen? So before we read the entirety of 1 Peter chapter 4, I want to read three verses to set a basis and a framework for our study. I wanted to look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. Then we will jump and read verse 7, and then we will look at verse 12. All right, I'll read it from the Christian Standard Bible, but I will be quoting from other versions at the same time. 1 Peter chapter 4, I want you to look at verse 1. Do you have it? He says, therefore, so that is a conclusion, right? He said some things before, and now he is in a conclusion mode. He says, therefore, since Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same understanding. Other versions will say, think like Christ. Say that with me. Think like Christ. All right. So we see that he talks about a kind of mindset here in verse 1. I'll take a look at it later. Look at verse 7. Verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 4. Look at the 7th verse. He says, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert. In other words, have a clarity of mind. All right. And then he says, be sober-minded. When somebody drinks alcohol, we say they are not sober. If you are sober, it means that you have things under what? Control. Sober mind means that your mind is calm. There is no clutter. That you can think straight. So he shows us the second mindset. Look at verse 12. Are you in verse 12? He says, dear friends, don't be surprised when the fiery ordeal comes among you to test you as if something unusual, please underline that word, were happening to you. If you read that from the traditional King James, he says, do not think it strange when you find yourself in some kind of trouble because it is usual. So we find that there are three different kinds of mindsets. I want to just give it to you up front and we will get into it in detail. Number one, if you go to verse one, he says, make sure that you have the same understanding as Christ has it. In other words, have the mindset that Christ had. What is that mindset? To live your life now in God's will, even when you are going through painful moments or you are suffering, because you know that you will spend eternity with him. Are you understanding what I just said? The second thing, the second mindset is that it is a mindset that you must always remember that the end is near. You have to have that at the back of your mind. And the third thing is that it is a mindset that the extreme difficulty is usual. Everybody say usual. So don't think it's strange. It's not strange for a believer to suffer. Anybody who told you you will always have it nice, he just lied to you. Because those who have gone before us, in fact, some of them did not have cars, but they will make it to heaven. Some, the scripture says, they live in holes. They did not even have any dwelling place. And one day they will find themselves in the kingdom of God. You see, when people teach you God's word and they make it look like the only reason for which we are serving the Lord is to get cars and houses, then those who already have it, it follows that they don't need God. But you know that Jesus did not die for house and cars. He died so that the souls of men will be delivered. Amen and amen. And so I want to take time to delve deep into these three mindsets. All right? So let's start reading from verse 1 again. He says, therefore, since Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves. Say that with me. The word interpreted arm here is like a military term. In other words, dress up, get ready for battle. All right? He says, you ought to have that mindset that you as a believer, in the midst of difficult moments, don't chicken out. Arm yourself. What are you supposed to arm yourself with? Arm yourself also with the same understanding, the same thinking, the way of thinking that Christ Jesus had. What is it? Please write it down. It is having an eternal perspective. Christ Jesus had an eternal what? Perspective. What does this mean? It means that you will embrace fully the will of God, no matter how it feels like. Because you know that one day you will stand in his presence. Amen. Look at a few verses following. He says, in order to live the remaining time in the flesh, I'm still reading 1 Peter 4, verse 2. He says, in order to live the remaining time in the flesh, no longer for human desires, but for God's will. In other words, for the time that you are left here on earth, do not live your life for human desires. Live it for the will of what? For there has always been enough time spent in doing what the Gentile chose to do, carry out in unrestrained behavior, evil desires, drunkenness, orgies, that means partying, chaos and lawless idolatry. They are surprised that you don't join them in the same flood of wild living, and they slander you. Is that true? I hope it is true about us. They will give an account to the one who stands ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel also preached to those who now are dead, so that although they might be judged in the flesh according to human standards, they might live in the spirit according to... Let me explain what is taking place here. The Apostle Peter says, I want that you arm yourself with a mindset. The mindset that Christ Jesus, when he was about to suffer, he chose to suffer. He chose to live in the will of God. You all remember in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus says, not my will, but what? Your will be done. He chose to live in the will of God. Why? Because he knew that one day you and I will be saved. He chose to look ahead. And Peter says, in the midst of difficulties, choose to live in God's will. Have that mindset that I live in the will of God. I'm not going to bend the rules. And then he reminds us that, listen, for the remainder of your time, this is what you ought to do. But before you got to this place, you used to walk with people who were walking in sin. And then he says, don't go back there because God will judge them one day. Why does God have the right to judge them? He tells us that even those who died without hearing the gospel, when Jesus died, the scripture says he descended into hell to preach to them. Because God cannot judge you until he has given you a chance to hear his word. So he says, for you and I who are alive, you have no way around it because you are hearing it every day. And for most of you in this church, you really have no way around it. because I don't lie to you. You hear it all the time. So you got to do something about it. Amen? And so the first mindset that we ought to cultivate in the midst of difficulty is that I ought to have an eternal what? Perspective. That it is not the here and now. There is more to life than what you see today. You may not own cars and houses, but one day when you stand in God's presence, the scripture says you will live with the King of Kings forever. Every one of us will live forever. The problem is where you're going to live it, either with God or without Him. And I pray that it will be with Him. Amen. Amen. This mindset encourages you to focus on the eternal rewards of faithfulness. Everybody say faithfulness. The problem with most believers is that sometimes we tend to think that if somebody does something big, God is going to reward him more than he rewards the other one. No. Listen very carefully to me. Write this down. We are unequally gifted, but God will always require the same thing from us. It's called faithfulness. Pastor, where did you get that from? The Bible says he gave one talent, the other two, and the other one, five. We are unequally gifted. So when you look at some people in their operation, they are very powerful than you are. But when God begins to require something from you, he requires faithfulness at the level he placed you. He's not going to ask for something different. So be careful, because God is only looking at faithfulness at your level. Stop looking at the other person. Pay attention to yourself. Amen. Now let's take a look at the second mindset. Look at verse 7, 1 Peter chapter 4. I would love that we all read it. Are you ready? Okay, shall we? Read. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and sober-minded for prayer. Wow. The end is what? Talk to me. The end is? How many of you believe the end is near? Does your life reflect that? In fact, the water resource management company of Iraq tells us now that the Euphrates River that used to be in the Garden of Eden, that the book of Revelation teaches that before the coming of Christ, it has to dry up, has gradually started drying up. That all the tributaries of waters that were coming into it are already dry right now. And gradually the riverbed is now being seen. How close is he? In fact, the Iraqi government predicts that the same Euphrates River that stretches to Syria by 2040 will be completely dry. Yet, the average believer lives as if we have every time in the world. We focus on things that are really not necessary. Let me ask all of you a question. When time is short, things become urgent and simplified. Do you agree? Maybe I need to say it again. When time is short, things become what? And let me ask you, if you were going by and saw a child fall into the water, no matter how well dressed you are, what would be your natural reaction? You jump in, right? You don't even care about the clothes you are wearing. Why? Because the time is so short that that kid is going. In other words, the shortness or the brevity of time necessitates two things, urgency and simplicity. You don't stand there and try to figure out. Suppose your house is on fire. How many of your cars would you want to take away? What is going to be your first reaction? Talk to me. It's me, myself, and I out first. You even look for your passport. There are many things you will not look for. And that is what the Apostle Peter is saying. He says, the time is so near. And he tells you the first thing you need is the urgency in prayer. I'll get to that. Let me ask you again. Suppose you heard that a loved one is dying and you are about 13 hours flight away. What is going to be your first reaction? You catch the first one? It means that, let me say this, that when the time is short, schedules don't mean a thing to you. Everything becomes what? Urgent. And you don't even look at the complexity of things. Everything is simplified. In other words, your choices line themselves up. So Peter is saying, maintain this mindset. Live every single day of your life as if Jesus is going to come tomorrow. Now, listen very carefully to me. Maybe some of you might be arguing, we don't think he's coming. I just gave you a natural event. Do you want me to give you more natural events that are taking place today? Why are you quiet? Because most of us know he's coming and we're not ready. But I pray that you will be. Tell the person sitting next, you got to be ready. I was talking to a couple one time. They were fighting, and the fight was really nasty and bitter. The woman went to see the doctor and came back with a diagnosis of cancer. Went back to the same place. And I asked the man, what are we going to do? He says, Pastor, let those things be a bygone. Because the urgency with how short the time is. All of a sudden, he's not fighting anymore. Everything's over. Peter says, can you live your life that way? Where you are always in some urgent mode. Why? Because the time is short. You see, maybe Jesus will show up, or the end of all things might be in 20-something. But if you die today, your end has already come. This is why you need to be cautious. Don't sit there and try and calculate time, because you don't know when you die. Because the day you die, Jesus has already come for you. Amen. So the second mindset that we ought to cultivate during difficult times is a sense of urgency. Everybody say sense of urgency. When I approach each day with an understanding that all things are pretty much coming to an end, so I got to do what I got to do. Parents, we are challenging you. Don't sit there and assume that your children following you to church know God. They don't. Until they encounter Jehovah for themselves, they don't know him. Amen. Are you here with me? When time is short, stakes are high. Material possessions, busy schedules, personal goals, they all lose their significance. If you're sitting here today and you are hating me. No, I'm bringing a message down. Can I bring it down? I'm pretty sure if I'm laid in the casket tomorrow, you'll be the first one here to shed tears. Oh, I love Pastor. And if I wasn't dead, but in the hospital, you'll be the one sitting around me all night. I want you to turn to the person sitting next to you. Look at them. Don't say anything yet. I'll tell you what to say. Say, let's stop fighting now. There are more important things. Husbands and wives, did you hear me? So in verse 7, please look at it. It said, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and sober-minded for... Now, if you read the New Century Version, it says, think clearly. Discipline yourself so that you will be able to pray. So four things, please write it down. When the time is short, prayer is an urgency. It's not something you do casually. When the time is short, loving people is an urgency. Giving is an urgency. Glorifying God in anything you do is an urgency. Did you get that? Because the end is near, glorify. In other words, whatever you do, you must do it to glorify God. Don't do it just to have a name. Because you can have a name today, die tomorrow, and realize you made a big mistake. Did you guys copy everything I said? Yes, sir. Do I need to go over it? Yes. Because the time is short, prioritize prayer. That's what he's saying. Make it a priority. Secondly, he says, love each other. And I like it in the, I think it's the either the Message Bible or the Phillips translation. He says, love people deeply, as if your life depends on it. Husbands and wives, love your spouse as if your life depends on. I think I need to work on this because I can hear all the rumblings. Husbands and wives, I think they are here. Husbands and wives, love each other deeply as if your life depends on it. You heard that? Did you hear that? Sister A and Brother B, did you hear me? Sometimes we fight over unnecessary things. So he says prayer must be an urgency. Can I work on that? You pray casually in difficult times, you are not going to make it. He says in the days in which we are, prayer must become urgent. Not something you do once in a while. And I've often heard the argument, but Pastor, we pray, we don't see anything. What is the highest mandate of prayer? It is not so that you will have money. The highest mandate of prayer, we see it in the book of Mark chapter 9, verse 39. It's called transformation. So that you will be what? Transformed. And until you are transformed, stop praying about other things because you're wasting time. Amen. So prayer with urgency. Love with urgency. He says, I want you to be hospitable. Verse 9. Give with urgency. Open your home. Bless other people. But what really touches me is the last part. He says, whether you are in the speaking business or you are in the serving business, whatever you are doing, he says, make sure that God is what? Glorified. You know how sometimes we do things, but it's about us? Somebody was asking me, I want to do something for you on your birthday. And I told a person, and they went to still do what they want. Why did you even ask me in the first place? If it's about them, then the way we live our lives is always about. No. The scriptures is teaching us, since the time is short, everything must be for God's what? Glory. Let's pick up from verse 12 and look at the last mindset we need to cultivate. So what is the first mindset we need to cultivate? Everything must have what? Eternal what? Perspective. Secondly, there ought to be a sense of urgency. The urgency in prayer, urgency in loving people, urgency in giving, and urgency in what? Doing everything for God's glory. All right. Finally, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 to 19. I'll read all of it, but let's read verse 12 together. If you can, please, with me on the screen. Shall we? Go. Dear friends, ordeal comes among you to test you as if something unusual were happening to you. Instead, rejoice as you share in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may also with great joy when his glory is revealed. In other words, if you share in his suffering, you will share in the glory as well. All right? Verse 14, if you are ridiculed for the name of Christ, how many of us are really ridiculed for the name of Christ? We don't even let people know we are Christians. We hide that because we don't want to be ridiculed. If you are ridiculed for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and God rest on you. Let none of you suffer as a murderer, though. So he's saying, if you are going to suffer, don't go suffer because you went to poke your nose where it doesn't belong. You get it? I just translated that whole verse for you. Let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, or an evildoer, or a meddler. Poking your nose. 16, but if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in having that name. For the time has come for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who disobey the gospel of God? And if a righteous person is saved with difficulty, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust. Everybody say entrust. Entrust themselves to the faithful Creator while doing what is good. So the third and final mindset. Let's go back to verse 12. In the King James, I want us to look at it. Read with me. Shall we? Go. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though something strange is happening to you. Do I need to explain that? I could turn to the person sitting next to you. I want you to read this verse to them. You ready? Go for it. Beloved, don't think it's strange if you have troubles, because this is part of our Christian walk. He says, don't think it's strange. You know how sometimes we go through difficulties and then we start asking, what did I do? Stop saying it. It's supposed to be part of it. Why am I feeling this way? Cha, the last time I checked, the word strange means that it's not part of you. But he says, this is usual. So it is part. I can see the reaction. It's like, Pastor, we are looking for breakthroughs. But listen very carefully to me. If I tell you my troubles, but I still walk around and smile, it would amaze you. Because I have an understanding that troubles are part of my walk. So when they show up, I take them not as blocks, but as stepping stones. Because who works is God who is at work. What Satan wants to do is to capture your mind and put you down. And then you start having a pity party. I can't believe I am the only one. I have prayed and I'm not seeing anything. You know how sometimes we even worship God based on what we see. But there are many times God has done so many things your eyes cannot see. In fact, I never knew that Some circle of pastors were talking about me and cooking to bring me down. Until one day, one of them had a trouble and I had to help. For whatever reason, I did help out of a clean heart. And then when I finished, he started telling me what has been cooked out. Then, you see, I'm not worried about the fact of what he's doing. But it reminded me of what God has delivered me from that I did not even know. There is so much God has delivered you. Sometimes when we tell people, let's praise the Lord, they are standing there trying to calculate, what has God done? Child, you still breathe. If God was to open your eyes to see who was trying to sniff oxygen out of you last night, you will glorify him this morning. You will not wait for a music to be played. It will stem up from the inside of you and you will begin to declare, look what the Lord has done. Every day we are calculating. They did this, so I do that. They did this, I do that. They did this, I do that. But remember the Lord your God. You didn't hear me. I'm quoting the words of Moses in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8. He says, never forget the Lord your God. In other words, don't have amnesia. It doesn't mean you have forgotten. It means that whatever that thing meant to you when it happened doesn't mean the same to you again. So never forget the Lord your God. For it is he who has given you the ability. When you wake up every morning and you are so angry, get in your car, start the car up, put on your jacket, get on the beltway, and there are people moving up and down, some giving you all kinds of fingers and heads and honking the horns, and you are... Remember the Lord your God. Because some people couldn't even get in your car. But you are in the car. I am not saying glorify God because somebody did not. But there are things you have not seen. And God has done it. You must remember him.
The third mindset that we ought to cultivate during difficult times is the acceptance of trials. Accept that it is part of us. Accept it. As long as you are in this flesh, you will always have trials.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text RADIO to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.